You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
This is hour number two of The Rob Carson Show, and we've got a lot of stuff on the plate. It's as bad as you think with regard to the enemies of Israel working in our government. It is as bad as you think. We literally have our CIA working with the left in Israel to try to depose Benjamin Netanyahu at the country's time of greatest peril. And we've got these... I'm glad that it's been unmasked. I'm glad that the anti-Semitism that exists in our country has been unmasked. And unfortunately, it's profound and it's big. If you look at Dearborn, Michigan, that's not a peaceful enclave of innocent Muslims who are just there to live peacefully with the Jewish people. No, it's a hotbed of anti-Semitism and anti-Americanism. And I hope when Donald Trump is the president that he roots it out of there. Because when you stand up and you say death to America, that normally, I don't know, should get an FBI investigation. But you see, he doesn't wear a Trump T-shirt, so the FBI isn't interested in it. But it's there. It's everything that you and I experienced after 9/11. You and I were old enough. Gen Z doesn't understand it. We warned America of this, that Islamists would move in and take their time. Well, it's been 22 years, 23 years now. And look what they've done. And look what they've done. And I hope there is a wholesale removal of those who are here on student visas, those who are not citizens, who are saying death to Israel and from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Send them the hell home, because we don't have time for this nonsense anymore. I'll get to that in a moment. Real quick, this is really important, you know, because the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed and everything. And I want to thank my friend Top Fuel Bill for sending me some of the pictures of the crew removing the skeleton of the collapsed bridge and opening a channel there. The people of Baltimore are having a deal with having to take the long way to work. A lot of tanker trucks having to take a completely alternative route. A lot of people who are leaving the port. Driving transport trucks having to go completely different directions, taking much more time, so it's throwing a wrench in everything. And it's going to be that way for a while. It's going to be that way for a while. But a civil rights group has called for the collapsed Baltimore Bridge to be renamed when it's rebuilt because of the legacy of Francis Scott Key that's clouded with racism accusations. Dear God, I thought we had kind of moved beyond this, but no, the stupid is still here. The stupid is still here. The Caucus of African American Leaders of Anne Arundel County in Maryland, who have no sway over anything, voted unanimously to call for the renaming and will lobby Governor Wes Moore on the proposal, as reported by the Baltimore Banner. The caucus includes civil rights groups such as the NAACP, which is a very left-of-center group that puts politics ahead of people, and the National Coalition of 100 Black Women. Is that their limit on the membership? It's like, no, we're at 100. Sorry, you know, it's. I mean, but I could be 101. No. We're the National Coalition of 100 Black Women, and it's you know, unless somebody dies, you're kind of I mean, I'll put you on the list. I'm not going to guarantee anything. You know, you can. I mean, Suzanne over here. She's like 94, and she doesn't look very healthy. But it could be this year. You know, it could be next year. So let's put you on the list. So anyway, they want to rename the Francis Scott Key Bridge because, you know, political correctness. They want to send Francis Scott Key the same direction of Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben. They should name it the Bridge of Transgender Visibility. I think that would be good. The Bridge of Transgender Visibility. Or the Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And one of those would be fine. Oh, and then there's this. Did you hear about this? Another container ship called the APL Xingdao lost power and slowed to a halt near New York City's Verrazano Bridge 12 days after the cargo vessel crashed in Baltimore. So the same thing happened. This happened last week. Weighs about 89,000 tons, lost propulsion at about 8:30 while traveling through New York Harbor, started going towards that bridge there, and some tugboats were able to turn it around. So there you go. There you go. Big story in the news today, and not a big surprise to most of us, is that National Public Radio is Pravda. It is. It really is. It is state-sponsored media, not just paid for by taxpayers, but literally taking the talking points of the deep state and the Democrat Party and making them apply to everything, absolutely everything. That is National Public Radio. National Public Radio is not this, oh, we can go there and we can listen to classical music and we can hear cute little radio programs where they do quizzes and everything. No. National Public Radio is a bloated bureaucracy. I know this. I worked at a National Public Radio affiliate for 4 years when I was in college. Did all sorts of shows. Did the beg for money thing every year. You know, you get on the air and you beg for money. Oh, we don't have any money, and we'll give you a tote bag if you give us, you know, whatever amount of money and all that stuff. And then, meanwhile, in places like Washington, D.C., where a lot of radio stations have cut staff dramatically, NPR has a $300 million headquarters, and they've got a sushi bar in the cafeteria, and they've got some shows have 30 producers on them. I have two. Yeah. Yeah. And they're both working on several other shows. Yeah, I know. And I do a home studio show, then a studio that I built by myself. So, yeah. Yeah. So, Yuri Berliner, senior business editor at NPR, admitted in a stunning op-ed published Tuesday that despite his outlet turning a blind eye to the Hunter Biden laptop story, the laptop was indeed newsworthy and that it revealed a connection to the corrupt world of influence peddling. Yeah. Berliner also admitted that when it became known that the laptop was real and not Russian disinformation, as 51 former intelligence officials had claimed, NPR did not fess up to the misjudgment. No. They continued to cover it. They continued to cover it up, I should say. During a meeting with his colleagues, this is according to Yuri Berliner, I listened to as one of NPR's best and most fair-minded journalists said it was good we weren't following the laptop story because it would help Trump. So, publicly funded entity, National Public Radio, represents half of the people, and is there as a political tool of the Democrat Party. Really? I know. I'm as surprised as you are. He also did a little poll, and 87 of the editors in the newsroom are Democrats. Would you like to guess how many Republicans there are? None. None at all. Not one little bit. Here is Yuri Berliner talking about the environment at NPR.
I think part of it was Trump's election. You know, I think like every newsroom, every legacy media newsroom, we were shocked, disturbed, distraught, really troubled. We assumed Hillary Clinton was going to win, and she didn't. And it was really an unsettling experience. But I also think, to me, it revealed that we didn't really understand a lot of what was going on in America.
They still don't. That's why they have programming that nobody listens to. Yeah, they spent a lot of money on it, too. I always laugh at that NPR news because it's always like they're just looking up from their latte with their pinky finger still in the air as they read the headlines. Oh, more people were killed in Gaza today. His Donald Trump's election in 2016 was greeted at NPR with a mixture of disbelief, anger, and despair. The president veered toward efforts to the damage or topple Trump's presidency. That was NPR's goal, to damage or topple Trump's presidency. Yeah. They had Adam Schiff on a lot. He was the top Democrat on the House Republican Intelligence Committee, became the NPR's guiding hand, its ever-present muse. They had him on the radio 25 times. But when the Mueller report found no credible evidence of collusion, NPR's coverage was notably sparse. Russiagate quietly faded from our programming. In 2020, the New York Post published an explosive report about the Hunter Biden laptop, abandoned at a Delaware computer shop containing emails about his sordid business dealings. With the election only weeks away, NPR turned a blind eye. We didn't want to waste our time on stories that were not real stories, and we don't want to waste the listener and reader's time on stories that are just pure distractions, is what they said. You remember that? I remember that. The laptop did belong to Hunter Biden. Its contents revealed his connection to the corrupt world of multi-million dollar influence peddling and its possible implications with his father. With the essential facts of the Post reporting were confirmed and the emails verified independently about a year and a half later, we could have fessed up to our mismanagement and misjudgment, but like Russia collusion, we didn't make the hard choice of transparency. Oh, also, most notably, they didn't report the origin of the pandemic. The lab leak story came in for rough treatment almost immediately, dismissed as racist or a white right-wing conspiracy. We became fervent members of Team Natural Origin, even declaring that the lab leak had been debunked by scientists. Yeah. Yeah, this is from the piece. I'm actually reading from the piece. Over the course of the pandemic, a number of investigative journalists made compelling, if not conclusive, cases for the lab leak. But at NPR, we weren't about to swivel or even tiptoe away from the insistence with which we backed the natural origin story. Yeah, yeah. John Lansing was the NPR president. And he became more visible and forceful figure after the killing of George Floyd. The message was from the top was very different. America's infestation with systematic racism was declared loud and clear. It was a given. Our mission was to change it. When it comes to identifying and ending systematic racism, Lansing wrote, we can be agents of change. Listening and deep reflection are necessary, but not enough. They must be followed by constructive and meaningful steps forward. I will hold myself accountable to this. And we were told that NPR itself was part of the problem. In confessional language, he said, the leaders of our public media, starting with me, must be aware of how we ourselves have benefited from white privilege. We were given unconscious bias training sessions. A growing DEI staff offered regular meetings imploring us to start talking about race. Monthly dialogues were offered for women of color and men of color. Non-binary people of color included, too. These initiatives, bolstered by $1 million grant from the NPR Foundation, created some groups like the Marginalized Genders and Intersex People of Color Mentorship Program, Latinx employees at NPR, Black employees at NPR, Southwest Asians and North Africans at NPR, Women, Gender Expansive, and Transgender People in Technology. This is so fantastic. There's an unspoken consensus about the stories we should pursue and how they should be framed. It's frictionless, meaning nobody argues with it. One story after another about instances of supposed racism, transphobia, signs of climate change, apocalypse, Israel doing something bad, and the dire threat of Republican policies. It's almost like an assembly line. Most recently, we've approached the Israeli-Hamas war and its spillover onto streets and campuses through the intersectional lens that has jumped from the faculty lounge to newsrooms, oppressor versus oppressed. Yeah. That's meant highlighting the suffering of Palestinians at almost every turn while downplaying the atrocities of October the 7th. That's your NPR. Ba, 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 ba. He says, my suggestion that we had a diversity problem was met with profound indifference. I got a few messages from surprised, curious colleagues, but the message was were of the, oh, wow, that's weird variety. Yeah. He wrote to the top news executive about numerous times about the controversial education bill in Florida as the Don't Say Gay bill when it didn't even use the word gay, but they insisted we use that. 6% of the news audience at NPR black, far short of the overall U.S. population, 14.4. Hispanic, 7%, even though the population is 19%. NPR, sit down for this, are you ready? Overwhelmingly white and progressive, and clustered around coastal communities and college towns. I know. Defund NPR. There you go. If they love it so much, pony up your own money. But as far as being a government mouthpiece, no. We need to defund it completely. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson for Ladder Life. One of my rules for to-dos is the simpler the task or project, the longer it takes to do it. I can tile a bathroom floor sooner than I'll replace a door hinge. I don't know why, but that's just how I roll. With regard to setting up term life insurance, it's easy with Ladder. It's 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, no paperwork when you apply for $3 million of coverage or less. Just answer a few questions about your health on your application. Ladder customers rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, and they just made the Forbes Best Life Insurance 2021 list. Just get on your laptop or phone and apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, and you'll find out if you're instantly approved. No hidden fees. Cancel at any time. Get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. Hey, life insurance doesn't get cheaper with age, so cross it off your to-do list. Go to ladderlife.com/newsmax today to see if you're instantly approved. ladderlife.com/newsmax. Write it down. That's ladderlife.com/newsmax.
Y'all about sick of this nonsense? Let's take America back. It's the Rob Carson Show.
After a while, we started covering Trump in a way that like a lot of legacy news organizations, that we were trying to damage his presidency, to even find anything we could to harm him. And I think what we latched on to was Russia collusion, like a lot of news organizations, which was, as I write, sort of catnip, although it was just rumors and a lot of it based on pretty shoddy documents or evidence.
Yeah, and you paid for it. That's Yuri Berliner, who is a major editor at NPR, and he just basically said that, oddly enough, I mean, it was going to go crazy, mostly white people who live in college towns and on the coasts listen to NPR. And NPR literally rips and reads what the federal government feeds to it. Yeah, completely have become Pravda, even though we have the First Amendment. Defund NPR. Defund NPR. Absolutely 1,000%. 1,000%. Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo inadvertently admitted to Congress that the $6 billion the Biden administration unfroze for Iran last year in exchange for the return of 5 American prisoners likely went to, are you ready for it, fund violent activity against us and Israel. Yeah. Shortly after the Biden administration unfroze those funds, Palestinian terrorist organization Hamas, supported by Iran, launched its October 7th attack. That's kind of direct, isn't it? Yeah, here is this guy, Wally Adeyemo, talking about what Iran does with our money. And let me get it right here. And here it is.
Democracy, money is fungible. But what we've seen time and time from the Iranian regime is they fail to feed their people and they put the IRGC first. Any dollar they have.
That's exactly what Hamas does. They take our aid and they steal it and they sell it on the black market, and then they get big and fat while everybody else in Gaza starves.
Go towards their violent activity before they deal with their people. That's partially why almost none of the humanitarian money has been used for humanitarian purposes, is they don't care about getting drugs and food for their people. But the difference is that the United States of America has made as a values proposition that we are always going to provide humanitarian relief for people. And that's what we've said is the only purpose for this money. So while in our country, money is fungible, in Iran, they've proven that any dollar they get that they have direct access to in the country will be used for the IRGC before it's ever used for their people.
Then why the hell did you give them the billions of dollars, you moron? This is Caroline Glick talking to Steve Bannon about what is going on right now during Israel's greatest time of need. When Israel has Hamas back on their heels, there's one enclave where they still exist, but our Biden administration is doing its level best to stop the killing of Hamas. And there's much more to it than you can even imagine.
They're not even trying to hide it. I mean, they say it outright. President Biden has said that the prime minister is extreme. Kamala Harris said that they don't support him, that they'd like to see a different Israeli government. Biden said that. And they're inviting the heads of the opposition.
They know this will save Hamas.
To the White House, behind the back or without the approval and against the wishes of the prime minister in the middle of the war. That you had the national intelligence estimate that came out, I think, 3 weeks ago, saying that Netanyahu was about to be toppled, that the demonstrations were going to be reignited.
Demonstrations, that's kind of interesting. Like something I said, actually, when the supposed hospital bombing happened, I said that all these anti-Israel demonstrations around the United States were astroturf. Well, they're doing the same thing in Israel, and the same people are doing it.
And then, lo and behold, 3 days later, they started again. And you have people who are running the anti-government demonstrations, like one of the heads, Ami Dror, who also works for the Aspen Institute, is one of Israel's major PR people.
Yeah. The federal government, Joe Biden administration, they are the enemies of Israel in Israel's most trying time. And if you're Jewish and vote Democrat, you're a buffoon. Let's take a break and come back. Tom Basile from Newsmax joins us next. This is the Rob Carson Show. A little bit more here of Carolyn Glick about the overthrowing of Benjamin Netanyahu, provided I can get it to play. And it doesn't appear it wants to play for some reason, because my computer periodically does that. We'll get to that in a minute. Also, our special guest, Tom Basile from Newsmax, in just 1 second. We discovered yesterday that 15 federal agencies lied about COVID, everything about COVID, from the origins particularly. They said that it came from human-to-animal transmission. It was all a lie. It was all a giant lie. We literally funded the creation of COVID at the Wuhan lab, and China unleashed it on the world and caused the deaths of millions of people. It's true, 100% true. I've got more on it later in the show. Oh, and who said that from the very beginning? Oh, this guy right here. Yeah. The government also told you that ivermectin wouldn't work. They said that hydroxychloroquine wouldn't work. There were provinces in India, Uttar Pradesh, wiped out COVID using ivermectin. But our federal government wanted you to take a vaccine, and they wanted Big Pharma to make a buttload of money, and they did, and they did, and they did. And one of the doctors that was almost destroyed by our federal government for prescribing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, Peter McAuliffe, he was able to dust himself off after that debacle and create a company called The Wellness Company, and you can get those medicines for an emergency from them. And it is blowing up, man. I mean, they are doing business like you wouldn't believe. And all you got to do, if you want an emergency medical kit, including those medicines that I just mentioned, plus Z-Pack, plus amoxicillin, plus a host of others, they've got a pandemic package, they've got an emergency medical kit, they've got a travel package. And I got to tell you, we just had a supply chain disruption in Baltimore. You think things are going to get better this year? You got to have your meds. Above all, you got to have your meds. You got to have food and water, but you got to have your meds. To get an emergency medical kit, go to this website now. You get 10% off if you use my promo code. Okay, twc.health/Carson. It's for the wellness company. twc.health/Carson. twc.health/Carson to save 10%. All right, do that right away. So we're talking about, well, let's go ahead and introduce our special guest, Tom Basile, the host of America Right Now on Newsmax. Thomas, how are you today, my friend?
I am doing well. Rob Carson, and how are you doing? And thank you so much for everything you do to keep America free every day, my friend.
Dude, I do my level best. I want to talk to you a little bit about Israel. We had protests last weekend in Dearborn that said people were saying death to America, death to Israel. It's radical Islam alive and flourishing and now in full bloom in Dearborn. We have a an administration that literally, as Hamas is back on its heels in Israel, wants to depose Benjamin Netanyahu. You've got people in our government, in our Congress, who are anti-Israel. Tom, have you ever seen anything like this? In our government that has always been pro-Israel, in a time of great crisis, would you have ever considered this possible, that the United States would appear to be the enemy of Israel?
No. And look, this has everything to do with electoral politics, which is what makes it even more shameful, even more dangerous. We've never seen anything like this before. They're becoming pro-terrorist. We have a Democratic Party in this country that is becoming pro-terrorist for the sake of some votes in Michigan, and they're endangering the lives of Jews and Israelis. The existence, and I wrote about this in the Washington Times, and I also talked about it on my show, the existence of Israel is very, very much tied to American and preserving American freedom. And the reason why, Rob, is because Israel is a validation of the biblical truths that the Marxists and the socialists in this country, that are a very dominant strain now in the Democratic Party, that they want to eviscerate from our society. There is a thread of history here that is really critical to the underpinnings of Western freedom and Western civilization that runs right through Israel, and it's something that should be very important to every Christian, to every Jew, and every American.
Yeah, I can't believe that our country is being this way, and I would assume and I hope that. And I'll just say I'm grateful that it's been exposed, Tom. Now we know where the hotbeds of anti-Semitism are in this country, and now as I like to say, we've uncovered their faces so we can kick their asses. And I hope that does happen. Let's talk about some other things that are on the plate. You've got the DOJ. It will not release the audio tape of Joe Biden in his deposition with Robert Her. Now, this to me says that, you know, they gave us a transcript. They expect us to believe their transcript. To me, that says that the transcript is something they wrote, and it doesn't actually transcribe what was said. And you consider what Robert Her said about Joe Biden, meaning he's a kindly old man with a poor memory. What do you have to say about the FBI holding back the recordings of Joe Biden?
Well, I look at it two different ways. One, I'm not surprised. Two, I could think of probably no more painful a thing to listen to than hours upon hours of Joe Biden trying to, trying to scour his memory to answer basic questions about his time in public life and about his personal life. But we have a weaponized DOJ. Most Americans believe that. That's not me and you here talking. If you look at the polling data, you look at how the Department of Justice is being abused to try to go after political opponents, or to be used as a political shield to the current occupant of the White House. I mean, this is what Americans believe. It's not just me and you, and it's because it has been so brazen. I happen to think Robert Hur did a fantastic job. I think he did the right thing by exposing what he believed were these lapses. They weren't concerned about Hunter. They weren't concerned about any of this other stuff. They were concerned about how the transcript and the Hur report and the recordings were going to impact people's perception of Biden's ability to lead. And that was the rumor before the Hur report was released, and it's been proven true. Because again, this is all about trying to win an election. It's not about the truth. It's about we're going to say and do whatever we need to say and do. We're going to manipulate the levers of power however we need to do it in order to be able to win an election. So I'm not surprised, my friend, that it's happening, but I have to go back and continue to tell folks that I thought that Robert Hur approached this exceptionally well, because he understood that prosecuting presidents is not something to be taken lightly, and that despite the fact that he did not vindicate Biden, unlike Jack Smith, unlike the Merrick Garland and the Biden Justice Department, Robert Hur understood that we shouldn't put our country through this.
Yeah,
and that's the way that it should have been handled with respect to former President Trump.
I'm not sure. I appreciate some of the things that Robert Hur did, but he left us with a decision. One is that the president of the United States should be removed by the 25th Amendment because he is not mentally capable of being the president, or he is responsible and needs to be removed by impeachment. That was the issue that I had with the ruling. It did nothing. It exposed a few things, but it really did nothing that it should have done, because the president of the United States had hundreds, if not thousands, of documents seven locations. We don't know who has been there, who had access to these documents. The classified document case against Donald Trump rolls on. So I think it was another case of a politician who just happens to be an attorney who doesn't want to jeopardize his political future. Like the guy in Georgia presiding over the Fannie Willis case. That case should have been tossed. She should have been removed from the case, but it's an election year, and I think he was afraid to confront her with the truth, since she is the DA in Fulton County, where he just happens to work. So I think that it was a little soft-pedaled on my behalf, and I also think the same thing is happening with regard to Fannie Willis case. What about this one in New York? What about this this case with regard to Stormy Daniels and what's happening? That, I mean, it's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah,
the judge is his daughter has raised $94 million from this case for prominent Democrats. His wife worked for Letitia James for 3 years, and he hasn't recused himself. Donald Trump is trying to sue him. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, look. First of all, they're gonna do jury selection in this case now, and what the Trump folks need to be looking for is a hung jury, right? They need to get one person to say this is ridiculous. I mean, from a legal standpoint, this is the weakest of all of the cases, I think, and they're gonna proceed with jury selection in a jury pool that is 80%, 90% tainted against the former president. Very difficult for the former president to get a fair trial, and what, you know, what they need to be focused on is how do they get one person to say that that they're not buying it, and then you have a hung jury. That's going to be the best, I think, that the Trump folks are going to be able to muster on this, because they're just not going to be able to get a fair jury.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah. Let me ask you about this. Did you read about this Yuri Berliner, the guy who was a financial editor for NPR, coming out and saying that, believe it or not, shock of shocks, 87 of the editors in the newsroom at NPR in Washington, D.C. are Democrats, no Republicans, and that the NPR audience is largely coastal and in college towns, and they are elite white people. Did that come as a big surprise to you?
No. And look, I saw his piece.
Yes.
I saw his piece, Rob, and I thought it was fantastic because he's actually saying, hey, look, I'm one of these coastal elite types, right?
Yes.
I drive the Subaru, and I'm like the, I'm I'm on the left, but that's not what NPR was always about, and not what NPR was always left-leaning. Everybody knew that. But now it has become this activist core that is basically a wing of the Democratic Party in an attempt to interfere, if not take down, the administration of former President Trump. And he calls that out and says, you're losing the confidence of people who used to turn to you, Republicans and independents who used to turn to you, and you've ceased to be a credible organization. And he laments that. I give him a lot of credit because there are a lot of people who are in his position in the news media that would never push back against the new media, right? The political activist media.
Oh, Tom, I think that the age of national public radio and national public television is over. Clearly, because we have other choices. When NPR reached its zenith when I was a little kid, or PBS, you had Sesame Street, you had a bunch of things that you couldn't get on broadcast television. If you wanted to watch the symphony, you could turn to your PBS affiliate when there was nothing else on. Trust me, I speak from experience. Also, Benny Hill. They did have Benny Hill. I watched Benny Hill because occasionally you'd see a pair of underwear as a 12-year-old. It was like, oh my God, oh my God. But I think it's lost its usefulness. You've got so many content creators right now, so many places to get your stuff, so many streaming services. If you want to pay for them, you can get your symphony and you can get your whatever without, having to have state-sponsored media approving, what you should hear or what you should view. I think it's a dated model. I think it's time for it to go away. What do you think?
Yeah, I happen to agree, and I think that overall we are at an inflection point with our media. We're in this transition period with our media. You see the numbers in cable declining. You see the numbers in broadcast declining. You see streaming services increasing, podcasts increasing, people creating these bespoke media and information experiences for themselves, social media getting into the, getting into the mix for better or worse. So I do think that we're at a point where some of these programs are going to find other places where they're going to live on. And I also don't believe that you need to have public financing.
No.
Of these types of things any longer, especially now that they have been exposed for being activists.
Yeah, for being Pravda.
Whether they were on the right, Rob, or the left, it's
exactly.
Not appropriate.
Yes,
it's not
exactly. All right, Tom Bazzilli, I appreciate you joining today, my friend. I appreciate you. I'll make sure to watch you this weekend as well. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Tom_Bazzilli on X, and you can watch me on America Right Now on Newsmax Television, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday.
All right, my brother, let's take a break. This is The Rob Carson Show. It is Rob Carson Show. I want to play a little bit more of this Carolyn Glick from Bannon Show about what's going on with the United States attempting to take down Benjamin Netanyahu. Pay attention if you're Jewish.
And you have people who are running the anti-government demonstrations, like one of the heads, Ami Dror, who also works for the Aspen Institute, is one of Israel's major PR people. And he said straight out that they received a four-part plan from the White House, from our friends deep in the White House, of how to overthrow the government. I wrote about it in my column in JNS. And then he put out a congratulatory statement on Twitter 2 days ago saying that it's working and the Biden administration seeks to overthrow the government with a hostage deal that's going to require Israel to let murderers out of jail and end the war, and that'll collapse as government and the left will take over.
Wow. That is your federal government, kids. That is your federal government. That is your Biden White House. They are working to overthrow Benjamin Netanyahu's government. He has Hamas on their heels, and Joe Biden cares more about the radicals in Dearborn than he does about the Jewish people. See, this is why Donald Trump said, if you vote for a Democrat and you're Jewish, you're out of your mind. you're out of your mind. Here's a little bit more from Carolyn Glick concerning the rallies in the United States, anti-American rallies by radical Islamists in Dearborn.
No, I think the fact that you had a rally in Dearborn, Michigan, a couple of days ago that was exposed and put on American TV, where you had, it was a pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, pro-genocide of Jews rally in Dearborn, Michigan, and not the only one. This happened all the time there. And the speaker came up and started talking about the Islam that they believe in, and that the Islam that they believe in is, in fact, a jihadist, supremacist, imperialist, jihadist creed. And then he led the crowd in calling death to America, death to Israel.
Yeah.
So that he made the...
And if you're not in this country as a citizen and you say that in a public space, you need to get the hell out of the country. And things are worse in London. This is Ollie London. We've had him as a guest talking about what's going on in London if you're Jewish.
For the past 6 months, London's Jewish community have been frightened to go into central London. They've also been hiding their Star of David necklaces and hiding any...
They're doing the same thing on America's campuses and in places like New York City.
The indication that they are Jewish, you know, taking their kippah hats off when they're going out in public. And that is really, really sad, because London has an incredible Jewish community, and the fact that they are scared to go into central London, they're scared of being attacked. We've seen many anti-Semitic attacks and outbursts if somebody carries the Israeli flag when they're walking.
Absolutely unacceptable here and in London, but it is all an AstroTurf movement. It was all triggered. They tried to trigger it with a hospital bombing. They triggered it with the death of 7 aid workers. And it's the same thing that happened in the summer of 2020 with George Floyd. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. All right, hour number three of the show. The Pentagon does not want you to know where your money is going. Attorney General Bill Barr killed three investigations of election fraud and reparations. Hold my beer. One Democrat says black people shouldn't pay taxes. That's all coming up in the last hour of the Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere. Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner, whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is the Rob Carson Show.
This is the Rob Carson Show. This is hour number three. 800-922-6680. By the way, if you're kind of tired of you know, the streaming services, your Netflix, your Disney Plus and whatnot, your Hulu, and you're also kind of tired of your streaming news services, you might want to become a member of Newsmax Plus. I am a member of Newsmax Plus. It's $5 a month, and I get a lot out of it. I really enjoy a lot of Newsmax programming. The ratings for my TV show, my little TV show, Rob Carson's What in the World, have gone up 81% January to January, last year to now, which is pretty amazing. And the same could be said for all of the primetime offerings and the daytime offerings of Newsmax. It's $5 a month. It's $5 a month. It's worth every penny of it, and then some, by the way. And if you would like to get signed up, you get real news, informed opinion, cutting analysis, Dick Morris, Kerry Lake, Alan Dershowitz, Victor Davis Hanson, among others, one of my all-time favorites. So just go to Newsmax Plus, P-L-U-S, spell it out, NewsmaxPLUS.com and get signed up for that. Will ya? Will ya? Will ya? So there's a lot of stuff going on here. The DOJ will not turn over Biden's recorded interview with special counsel Robert Hur, risking contempt of Congress. Like that's going to happen, right? The Justice Department will not produce subpoenaed audio reportings of former special counsel Robert Hur's interview with Biden to House Republicans, putting Attorney General Merrick Garland at risk of being held in contempt. Sure, that's going to happen. You betcha. You keep telling yourself that. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan has threatened to hold Garland in contempt. We will see. What are they keeping from us? Isn't it amazing what's being kept from us? Have you ever thought about all of the stuff that's being kept from us? You literally had the man who did the investigation say that Joe Biden was a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. Is that what they're afraid of showing us, right? Of course it is. Of course it is. The American people know that Joe Biden is not of sound mind. And his body is not much sounder, as it were. And there is a real problem here because, Peter Navarro is in jail right now. And because he refused to appear. And there are other members associated with Donald Trump that have refused to appear. And a federal judge has pointed out this problem, and Rob Schmidt actually quoted the judge and then talked to Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project about this double standard.
During a conference on the case Friday, District Judge Anna Reyes, Joe Biden, called out the hypocrisy of the DOJ attorneys instructing two of their lawyers not to comply with GOP House subpoenas, saying there's a person in jail right now because you all brought a criminal lawsuit against him because he did not appear for a House subpoena. Now you guys are flouting these subpoenas?
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to show up?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's quite rich you guys pursue criminal investigations and put people in jail for not showing up, but then direct current executive branch employees to take the same approach. Well said.
And Peter Navarro was also a senior White House aide to the President of the United States who asserted executive privilege, constitutional executive privilege that we've had for 250 years going back to George Washington, so presidential aides don't get hauled before grand juries and Congress to discuss their private advice that they give to the President of the United States. So Peter Navarro's case is much more egregious.
Yeah, yeah. This is Mike Davis. Again, if you don't know who Mike Davis is, I've become a really big fan. He's been on our show. He is the director of the Article 3 Project. His name is also apparently being considered as the new AG, or no, the new AG, replacing Merrick Garland. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. Here he is about talking about the Biden DOJ, and honestly, clearly being weaponized.
It's very clear that the Biden Justice Department is politicized and weaponized against Trump. His top aides like Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon, his attorneys, January 6th supporters, parents outraged by gender chaos in schools, Christians praying outside of abortion clinics while they give amnesty to Biden, his family, BLM, Antifa, Hamas. It's out of control. And like you said, this is a rare moment where a Democrat judge called this out.
All right, and that's why I'm going to play this. We need a little palate cleanser. This is from Jim Gossett.
It's the FBI Puppet Show with our special guest star, Christopher Wray. Yay!
The FBI is corrupt. Promote election theft.
Uh-huh.
They do Joe Biden's bidding, clever puppets for the left.
Pretty much.
They targeted Donald Trump.
They did.
Durham's report will show.
Uh-huh.
The FBI is crooked and these puppets need to go. Comey and Lisa Page, her boyfriend Peter Strzok. Russian collusion garbage from these puppets was a crock.
Boom, boom, boom.
Why were there no indictments? They found a smoking gun. They covered up for Sleepy Joe and his crooked son.
It's time that we clean house, disband the FBI. It's time that they're all fired. Why were they ever hired? It's time that they're all fired from the most deplorable, oh so horrible, quite immorable, unadorable FBI is Biden's puppet show.
There you go. By the way, that is Jim Gossett. All of the voices in that song parody there were Jim Gossett. And you can see Jim Gossett in the Atlanta area at the Coastal Grill, and it's in Roswell, Georgia, on the 20th of this month, okay? Saturday, April the 20th, he's going to be on stage. If you want tickets, write this down, 678-829-SHOW, 678-829-SHOW. Again, Roswell, Coastal Grill, Jim's going to be on stage. Parody songs, comedy, impressions. He's funny, really, really funny. So if you're in the Atlanta area, you might want to go see that. Hey, we got somebody we haven't heard from a while. My friend Shane from Australia on the line. How you doing there, my friend? What's going on?
You're sounding very good, Rob. I can hear you very clearly on the other side of the world.
And, well, we appreciate you listening.
Well, I just wanted to ring you up. You know, I hear this stuff in the Middle East and, you know, with the children wanting to, you know, I want the children to grow up, all children to grow up in a pretty peaceful world. And it's fascinating, you know, Rob, today in your country was the first Nazi defeat exactly 83 years ago on land, which was the significant defeat that actually stopped the Nazis and the Japanese from securing the Suez Canal and the oil. And that battle actually lasted for 8 months, Rob. And my people, the Australians, were majorly involved, and this was 8 months before you blokes got bombed at Pearl Harbor. So it was a vital battle, and we were just starting to get into a major battle with Rommel's forces.
I thank you for bringing that up, my brother. Sometimes we as Americans forget about the amazing contributions of countries like Australia in world history and defeating evil. Shane, let me ask you this. How are people feeling in Australia about what's going on in Israel with regard to the Hamas and the United States kind of, I guess, attempting to overthrow Benjamin Netanyahu? Is Australia behind the country of Israel and the Jewish people or not?
Well, I'd say this, Rob. Exactly 83 years ago, Australians went over the other side of the world to stop a regime that was going to exterminate not only the Jewish races, but the Japanese were going to kill every Australian. And they were coming down the islands now, and they were going to take over and kill every Australian in this country and the Aboriginals. And, you know, they seem to be separate from the Australians these days, a lot of them. But generally, Rob, I say, well, what did all those blokes and the Americans, you know, we fought right next to you blokes against the Japanese in the islands and in Germany, you know, they were going to take over the whole world and the Japanese and exterminate us, mate. So what I'd say, and this is a fascinating point, Rob, yesterday, which was our 10th, no media in this country, and I cover the media, covered that incredible battle. But I'll tell you right now, they covered a whole pile of stuff that doesn't really give us a direction from our history to where we should be going. I find it very sad, Rob, that people are dying still in the Middle East, considering how many millions died in World War I and World War II for supposedly peace.
Exactly. Now, Australia, I always considered us, you know, I had a kinship with the people of Australia because you're a scrappy group of people. You are independent. You're strong. You are, you're masculine. You define your men and women, and generally I've always thought the Australians were tough and scrappy. Unfortunately, as of late, or at least the last 4 or 5 years, Australian politics has seemed to be dominated by the left. We're discovering that our federal government lied to us about all these COVID restrictions and the origins of COVID. Is there some retribution coming in Australia, or are the Australian people still drinking the Kool-Aid with regard to leftist politics, the same stuff that we've gone through?
Yeah, very funny. I'd say the Kool-Aid's being given out in its millions of gallons, but look, I look at generational social psychological conditioning of our culture post-World War II, Rob, and I see not really the Australia, as you know, that we would say would be an independent Australia, and we are run by forces that seemingly are creating a lot of confusion and distraction right now. But, you know, our focus is, Rob, to decent people like you and anybody else, we just want a better world for the children, all children to grow up in, and let's stop making all these weapons, and how about we make some great inventions and places where children's genius can actually create a better world, mate, because the kids, that's the main focus for me, Rob, and I'd say most people and yourself would say that we need to have a good world for children to grow up in peace and focus on the real important things in the environment and in our social development.
All right, my brother. Well, I hope you're doing well. It's always good to hear from you. And next time, make it not so long since you check in, okay?
All my love, mate.
All right, bro. Take care of yourself. I appreciate it. You know, we're talking about war there and all that, and what good is it for? Huh. You know, it's kind of weird. My father was a World War II veteran, and we were patriotic. We knew that the world faced an existential crisis from Adolf Hitler, from Japan, from Italy. There was a great evil marching across the face of the world, and we got behind beating it, and we all came together to beat it. And then we saw a series of wars that were largely driven by politicians and the military-industrial complex, and I played along, man. I played along. I was like, oh, my God, yeah, we got to march in there, and we got to defeat Saddam Hussein. And we heard that, you know, they were going to defeat Saddam Hussein, and our troops were told when he took over Kuwait, our troops were told to leave before they could hit Baghdad and take the bastard down. And then we had another war, and this was after 9/11. And everybody signed up because, you know, we wanted to defeat evil and terrorism and all that. And we knew that the guy who did it, Osama bin Laden, was in Afghanistan. But George Bush decided to send all of our troops into Iraq and take down Saddam Hussein. And we were like, okay, well, I guess there's a reason for it. Oh, it's weapons of mass destruction. And then we find out 20 years later, thousands of lives lost, trillions of dollars spent. That wasn't the case at all. It wasn't the case at all. And after all of the spent blood and treasure and all of the soldiers who came back wounded and maimed, as have happened in wars since World War II, it was all a ruse. It doesn't mean that what you fought for was not worthwhile, because you did it. You and our military, you did it. And you were lied to. And it looks like they're kind of doing the same thing in Ukraine. Marjorie Taylor Greene insisted on an audit of the Pentagon and where the money's going over there. I've got the results of that coming up. Yeah, this is the Rob Carson Show.
The place where DEI goes to D-I-E. It's the Rob Carson Show.
So Marjorie Taylor Greene demanded an audit of where our money's going with regard to Ukraine. And maybe this is why the American people have so much trepidation about just, you know, issuing a blank check to Ukraine. I want you to listen to what Marjorie Taylor Greene had to say about that.
You know, I demanded an audit, and I was supposed to have one, but they never really accounted for the money. Now, this should be no surprise from the federal government. Remember, the Pentagon fails its audit every single year by billions and billions of dollars. So is anyone surprised that they miscounted the money that they sent to Ukraine? No, people are not surprised at all. Where the American people are, Steve, is they don't want any more of their dollars being sent to Ukraine, because Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries on earth. But here's the Biden administration, which is probably the most corrupt administration on earth, is now saying that they messed up counting how much money they sent to Ukraine. Senator Vance and I joined together on this letter demanding answers. And we are also united between the House and the Senate in not sending another penny to Ukraine. We are demanding an end to this war and a peace resolution for Ukraine.
Now, all we're asking for is an itemized list of what we need, you know, what we're sending and what we're spending. And we've got people in charge right now who literally look at your money, carte blanche. They just say, you know, American Express Black Card, get whatever you want. And this has been going on for a very long time. And the thing that really has people ticked off is that so many of us are being ignored in the meantime. And I want you to listen to this. Listen to this. This is a new piece from Stephen Richards. The U.S. prosecuted criminal COVID fraud cases total $2 billion. Only problem is that's about 2% of the COVID fraud. So our federal government, while the under the guise of the worst pandemic in the history of mankind, decided to just open the spigot and give out money to anybody who requested it. And a lot of it was fraudulent. $500 billion in fraud is what they're saying, although this article says not as much. So the 2024 annual report from COVID-19 Fraud Enforcement Task Force says that roughly $5 trillion total pandemic relief was exploited by bad actors. If this were a business, you'd have been fired and people would have gone to jail already. The New York Times published an interactive chart showing the industry sectors which received the funds. This is only a small fraction. The $2 billion that have actually recovered is only a small fraction of what the Associated Press says is a $280 billion in funds that were stolen by fraud. We have, our federal government is the largest organized crime syndicate in the history of the world. And I don't say that blithely. It is the largest organized crime syndicate in the history of the world. And this has really taken off with the globalists because they recognize that the, you know, like people like Hillary Clinton, they can't compete with billionaires. They can't compete with Elon Musk because they've never built anything. They've never invented anything. They're just bureaucrats. And so they have created an oligarchy in America. Started with the Clintons, moved on to the Obamas. Donald Trump lost $1 billion. He entered the White House as a billionaire. He didn't make a dime off of it. But Barack Obama's worth $500 million. The only thing he's ever done is been in public office and written a few books that nobody reads and got a big Netflix deal. Same goes with Michelle Obama. Hasn't done anything in her life. She's worth tens of millions of dollars. She's a first lady. First thing she did out of college was she got on a hospital board where she was overpaid for doing nothing. And then she and Barack Obama were ushered into public office where he went from state senator to senator and then to president like that. And now they get a lot of money for reading books out loud and winning Grammys for that. And they're their own books. So we have an oligarchy, and the reason why the money spent is such a big deal is because while Hillary Clinton can't compete with Elon Musk, she can control the same money and then some as Elon Musk. They can have, and like I say, our Congress treats the United States of America as its own piggy bank. They go to Washington, D.C., and they are corporate board members on a $7 trillion company, and they spend the money the way they want, and it goes to their buddies. And that's why I say we have the largest criminal crime syndicate in world history in charge of us, and they wasted up to $500 billion on COVID, and they've only recovered $2 billion. Do you think we're going to need any more? I doubt it. Let's take a break and come back. This is The Rob Carson Show. It is The Rob Carson Show. Lots to get to, including Alex Jones might sue the federal government because they got a CIA agent on tape saying that the CIA and the FBI took down Alex Jones. Bankrupt. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I want to mention something. I'm kind of excited about this weekend because my wife and I are redoing the kitchen in our house, and she got a little bit of inheritance, and she wants to have a kitchen because we've had a really crappy kitchen for a number of years in the last two homes we've lived in. And we got these guys that are going to be coming out, and I'm going to be doing the show live from another location while the house is being worked on. And yesterday I was talking to the guy on the phone, and he was talking about the demo. And we'll be there to start the demo on Monday. And I said, oh, yeah, we'll start the demo on Monday, all that. And it's like, okay, we'll talk to you then. And I went, I'm not going to let him do the demo. Are you out of your mind? So my wife is out of town this weekend, and I got a sledgehammer, And that's the best part of, you know, we watch a lot of HGTV shows. You know, we watch the property. Well, I hate the Property Brothers, really. I'm not a big fan. But there's Fixer to Fabulous. That's the latest. I mean, it sounds super, but it's actually, you know, pretty cool. Fixer to Fabulous. I like Maine Cabin Masters. That's my favorite one because they're like white trash, just like my family. And... And they do everything. It's like they're gonna rebuild the cabin. What's the bid gonna be? And you're thinking 150 grand. They're like, we'll do it for 35. Okay, cool. So I'm gonna do a little bit of demo because that's the best part. The demo and then the reveal. You can skip the middle. Who cares about the middle? All right. But the demo and the reveal. And I'm gonna do the demo. And I got plans. I'm debating whether to take out the cabinets gingerly or with a sledgehammer. We'll see. I think you know which way I'm leaning. Yeah. Hey, let's go to Joe in Townsend here. Joe wants to talk on the radio today. Joe, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's going on?
Hi, Rob. Listen, you know, I love the conservative talk shows, but I wish you guys would all get together and really start telling the American public that what they've got to start doing is hold our representatives responsible. It is ridiculous to hear Merrick Garland not applying to law when he is in the Department of Justice and head of the Department of Justice. We've got a very corrupt government, and it's got to stop. And yeah. We can't just get lip service from it.
Well, Joe, I think you're giving me a little more credit than is due. All I can do is inform people and motivate people. That's you know, a lot of people ask me, well, why don't you tell everybody to stop paying taxes? Well, you know, no, because the only way if I could assure that everybody in the country would quit paying taxes simultaneously, then I'd say, sure, why the hell not? But I can't. So I can't make people do anything. I can't affect legislation. All I can do is inform you and then do my level best to inspire you to take action. So, you know, I'm just as frustrated as you, Joe, about the corruption of the federal government. And, Joe, I want people to pay for it. I want people to be held accountable. I want people to go to jail for the rest of their bloody lives for what they've done to us. Unfortunately, right now, we have tone-deaf people in Washington, D.C., particularly Republicans, who don't have any balls. And well, and they've been bought, they've been paid for, and they're not listening to us, Joe.
Right, because the money that's gone to the Ukraine, part of it is being funneled back into the DNC, and that's why they have such a deep pocket.
Yeah, well,
you know, most of America that makes money is not voting with their wallet. You know, they're Republicans, and they're concerned about the future of their children and the country. Our Christian and Judeo principles are being attacked left and right. I just don't understand it.
Well, Joe, I don't know how much you listen to the show, but my goal here and what I have said is that I'm going to use mockery and ridicule, and I'm going to take humor back, and I'm going to do my level best to overwhelm the left with patriotism and joy. And I think we're doing that, and we are making some headway. And I realize every day, Joe, that I get out of bed and I have to go in with the mountain of bad news and somehow make something positive at it. And every day I look at things that are moving in our right direction. Today I talked about polling at the very beginning of the show. Today I talked about the fact that inflation is going through the ceiling again and that the Biden administration is being exposed as a complete and abject failure. And then I see numbers like black people streaming from the Democrat Party, Hispanics, women, and whatnot. And that's what I bring to the table. And that I hope is beginning to affect change. Because I think we're in the middle of a great awakening, Joe, and I like to consider myself to be a part of that awakening by using my instincts, my research, and my work to bring to light a lot of the things that most people didn't know about, you know?
All right, well, how about talking about this?
Yes, sir.
Get everybody involved in this. There are
okay.
17 motor voter states. Do you know what a motor voter state is?
Yes.
Okay, we've got people, just because they get a driver's license, are getting registered to vote. Only American citizens should vote, and those 17 motor voter states should be taken to the highest court in the land.
Yes.
And overturned.
Okay, Joe, now, have you been following what's happening at the RNC and their lawsuits in states like Wisconsin?
Yes.
Okay, so there are some very good things happening. There are a lot of very crooked people, a lot of crooked secretaries of state that ushered in new voting laws in places like Pennsylvania. There is action being taken in Pennsylvania, and we finally have some people at the head of the RNC. And I'm not saying the Republicans are the end-all, but I will tell you that Donald Trump and the America First Movement, with people like Laura Trump in charge of the RNC, are going to affect a lot of change, and the Democrats will not be able to do like they did in the last election. However, they will continue. But at least we know that we are being heard, and there are people who are doing something about fraud, voter fraud. Okay?
Okay.
Chin up, bro. All I can tell you is chin up. I know.
God bless America.
You too, brother. You know, and listen, a lot of people will call me. I'll just be honest. What do I do? I don't have all the answers. Call Congress, volunteer as a poll watcher, run for office, become ungovernable, speak out. These are things that I do. Stay positive. Overwhelm the left with joy. Never get down. Never consider the failure of the United States. Never, never, never let fear rule you. We cannot, we have no time for fear. We have no time for fear. We have no time for pessimism. We have no time for people saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it. I hate that. I hate that when I hear people, well, you know, they're just going to steal the election anyway. Well, you know what? Just shut up and get out of the way and let the rest of us do something about it. I have no we do not have time to waste. The abuses and usurpations have taken place. Now we got to stop them. And I believe, as I've said, my first year in broadcasting, two things happened. One, two countries controlled by communists, all right? One of them fell. One of them was empowered. One country used joy and patriotism and freedom to knock down a wall and take down a paper tiger, which was the Soviet Union. We also had Margaret Thatcher, Pope John Paul II, and Ronald Reagan on the side of freedom. That helped. The same year, China. Student movement in Tiananmen Square, thousands of students, and it was being broadcast around the world, and we thought, oh my God, China is the next domino to fall, and then the lights went out, and the Chinese Communist Party murdered everybody, rolled over them with tanks, and washed their bones into the storm sewer, and we've never heard anything about it since. And the deep state was in the pants of China within a year. So we have a choice. Do we want to pursue the East Germany Soviet Union model, or do we want this government to roll over us like China did to its own people in the same damn year? And I say bullcrap. We can take them down. We are exposing them. I'm exposing them every day. I'm doing my level best, but we got to stay positive. We've got to keep soldiering on, and we've got to keep our morale up, because the momentum is on our side. It really is. Think about all the things we know now about our federal government and their malfeasance and their lies and their abuses and their border policies and the what's behind that. And we could go on and on. We didn't know all this was happening. We 2 years ago, you probably had faith in the FBI. I think the FBI needs to be figuratively blown up and either completely reinvented or relegated to the dustbin of history. The DHS needs to go away. The Department of Education needs to go away. The IRS needs to be blown up. 80% of the people working for the IRS need to be fired. Sorry. But we know it now. We know that our government is not on our side. We've exposed their faces so we can kick their asses. So let's do it, shall we? I think we shall. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about EVs. Joe Biden, this is another, we should be positive about it. Joe Biden is trying to force EVs down our throats. And the reason being is it's a quid pro quo to China. It is. Joe Biden is bought and paid for by China. You should have figured that out by now. And so he decided to electrify the entire the government fleet at the beginning of his presidency, cut off the Keystone XL pipeline, send all of our energy needs to China, where they make the batteries, where they make the solar panels, where they make the windmills. And you know what the American people are saying? They're saying, we don't want to buy your crappy EVs. So there you go. The American people said no.
Well, she's got an EV. It's a car that is going to break her. It costs a fortune just to run it, and that's what it's going to take her.
This is Keith Wilson, by the way.
$10,000 for a battery. I wonder now if it will wake her.
In collaboration with Jim Gossett.
Cause she'll be broke, broke, broke when her banker takes her EV away.
Broke, broke, broke.
Her EV away. She's got a lot of fear when she's driving, and it's really strange
scary now. Now it's scary to drive.
Especially when she's driving at night and she's way out of range.
Got a plug-in now, she's got a plug-in.
Back to a gas-powered car, you know she really ought to change
it's
now.
Internal combustion, it's a gas, gas,
cause
gas.
She'll go
broke, broke, broke till her banker takes her EV away.
Broke, broke, broke till her banker takes her EV away. It's a crapshoot with her EV when she tries to start
it. What's wrong with it this time? What's wrong with it now?
Yeah, she'll call AAA and just ask the driver to cart
it. Take it away now. Please take it away
from this piece of crappy meat. She should soon be parted.
She made a mistake. Now she made a mistake.
And she'll go
broke, broke, broke when the tow truck takes her EV away.
Yeah, unfortunately, they've spent trillions of dollars on them, and there are dealerships around the country that still have too many EVs on them. I go up to my Ford dealership where I bought my Bronco. They've had the same F-150 Lightning sitting there for a year. They can't get rid of them. I told you at the beginning of this, it was going to be the largest boon to landfills in the history of mankind. Chrysler CEO made one prediction about electric vehicles that Joe Biden will hate. He said basically they're having a tech of a time, and it's not going to grow. One prediction, he says that the bad news, electric vehicles keep piling up with no end in sight. Tesla is reported its deliveries have dropped. EV maker Rivian has turned in a disappointing first quarter, along with shutting down production at its major plants in Illinois. Here's the positive. Ford is starting to do hybrid pickup trucks. You know what that means for you? You're going to be able to drive that F-150 and tow your toy hauler, and you're going to be able to, put a camper behind it, or you're going to be able to load it up with drywall and bricks, and you're going to get 35 miles a gallon. How about that? Because you can't do that with an EV. Yeah, yeah. So the basically said the average mileage for an internal combustion engine had to increase significantly, therefore limiting the number of Ram trucks I could produce, according to the head of Chrysler. So they had to produce smaller cars. They said no. They started making trucks, and then Joe Biden decided to bring EVs to the fore, and nobody wants them. Nobody wants them. The positive is we are experiencing a market correction. The positive is we are discovering that EVs are older than gas cars, and the reason why they are not the standard for driving is because they were obsolete 130 years ago. There you go. There you go. Let's take a break and come back. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. Oh, there's always room for Led Zeppelin. This is kind of funny. This is a piece from Chris Morrison via DailySkeptic.org. An amount of land equivalent to the Isle of Wight has been added to the shorelines of 13,000 islands around the world in the last 20 years. They keep telling you, you know, the sea levels are raising and all that. Not the case, actually. Not the case. Recent study found that 100 islands of Tuvalu had grown in mass by 2.9 miles. Comprehensive reexamination of data on 30 Pacific and Indian Ocean atolls. 709 islands have found that they haven't lost any land at all. The Maldives, also the poster child for rising sea levels, has also gained landmass. So the islands of the world are not being swallowed up. And this makes sense. You know why? Because the people who try to perpetrate this global warming nonsense on you all have homes on the seashore. Yeah. It's just like Anthony Fauci saying that, you know, COVID is so bad you need to wear a mask all the time. And then he went to a baseball game and took his mask off. And Nancy Pelosi said you can't go get your hair cut with the pandemic. And she was able to go to her own beauty shop and have it done. Yeah, it's let them eat cake liberalism. I got a little bit of good news for you. We have an end to this. This is the accidental hero of the week. Provided I can get it to
the accidental hero of the week.
I thought this would be a great way to wrap up the show today. You know, they got a lot of these guys who are punching women in the face out of nowhere in New York City because, you know, they've had idiots in charge of the city for a very long time. A crowd of New Yorkers were filmed banding together against a man seen punching a woman in the seemingly random attack. The attack occurred at 14th and 7th Avenue. It was caught on camera by an apartment dweller overheard. Anyway, a bunch of people have been beaten by men. In New York City, just punching women in the face. And apparently a bunch of guys saw this this woman being attacked. And this attack of these men decided to go after the guy who did the beatdown. So you got a man hurling one or two punches at an unsuspecting woman. A couple minutes later, several others on the street caught wind of what was happening, taking their phones out and appearing to call for help. And that's when he threw another punch at full force, and within a second, he was struck himself. Two men from opposite ends of the frame suddenly appear and offer punches of their own that land at the same time. The aggressor falls to the floor dazed, but the battle does not end there. A vicious beating administered by the two men and at least five others who at this point joined in ensues, complete with a series of punches and stomps. The guy was beaten down and then arrested. Okay, that kind of brought a smile to my face today. Yeah, and I think if you see somebody attack somebody and you have the ability to do it, you should beat the snot out of them. Get with some other people and just beat the snot out of them. I know that's very untoward, but if you're going to tie the hands of law enforcement and you see an innocent person being beaten, then I give these guys a major kudos. Major kudos. Kudos, and I hope we see more of it. And if not, I hope the people who've been doing this crap see this and stop doing it. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. That's going to do it for the show. We had a couple little technical snafus today. I hope you didn't notice. Check out the podcast by going to your favorite podcast platform. Look up the Rob Carson Show or just ask Alexa to play it if you would. In the meantime, have a glorious day. God bless America. God bless and save Israel. And until tomorrow, don't catch the stupid. We'll